Gnosis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the love that underlies the happenings of the time. And before we explore that topic, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and they are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you'll hear on this show. And also the following thought is from Alice Bailey. It's a phrase from a mantra found in the books of Alice Bailey. And I quote, "And bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time." And I'd like to talk about a gift that we'll be offering you later, but stay with us and we'll go into depth on that a little later and how you can order the gift. But back to our topic and about the mantram. Can you tell us more about this mantram? And I guess before you tell us that, what is a mantram?
A mantram is a Sanskrit term, I think, meaning a series of words that are said with a rhythmic cadence that generates its own invocative power. The element of power is behind the mantram, the idea of invocation or appeal, isn't it?
Yes, it's the way it energizes, it creates an energy pattern, let's say, that works out based on the meaning behind the words, the intent and purpose of the mantram that has, if it's said properly and rhythmically and with the proper energy behind it.
There are quite a number of mantras given us in the sacred texts of the East, and the books of Alice Bailey have a number of them. One especially beautiful mantram that this opening thought comes from is called the Mantram of Unification, which is, I think, so appropriate and so meaningful for our times. Maybe Dale could say it for us.
Sure. It's called the Mantram of Unification, and it's on a card, and we have it available for anyone who'd like to have a copy. It goes like this. The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt. Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love.
Perhaps we should say a word about the language in that mantram. It's a very ancient prayer, and it uses language that probably strikes ears today as a bit out of date in the reference to men. But we know that the word man has its origin in another Sanskrit word, manas, meaning one who thinks. So we are all men if we use our minds. We are all thinking beings. It's a beautiful mantram, I think, and it's so appropriate for today because it evokes a sense of the inner significance and meaning that lie behind the outer level of life. And when we look at the world today, probably many of us see only or mostly conflict and upheaval and change that we don't understand, and war and a great deal of suffering and an enormous amount of hatred. But behind that, I think there are many people who sense that something is working out that will ultimately be to the good.
I think, we're going through a period of transition now where a lot of this old, ancient patterns of thinking and doing are coming up to the surface again, and they have to be resolved and done away with. And that's, I think, behind a lot of the conflict that we see in the world, the terrorism and the wars and the discontent and the pain and the agony and the suffering that people are going through. But underlying all of this, there is a great quality of love in the presence of the soul, because the soul is present even though the conflict is going on.
It's a truth in many spiritual teachings that love substands or underlies the whole universe. And it's said that God is, in essence, love. And if we believe this, then we have to believe that that realization that God is love is true on both the inner and the outer levels. And as you say, what's happening on the outer level, even when it's injurious to the form, destructive to the outer shells of life, isn't necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes we have to discard the outer forms when they become inhibiting and limiting to the inner growth. And that's what's happening on the level of ideas, institutions, as well as personalities and groups.
I think there is, on balance, there is a lot of love working out in the world. We just don't hear so much about it. And I was thinking today, if we could just read about in the news, in the press or in the newspapers, all the good things that are happening in the world, that this world would look much different than all we get is the conflict and the wars and so much of that.
In fact, we do have a coworker in Italy who has created a website called the Goodwill News Agency. Goodwill News Agency, where he posts information about events in the world that do demonstrate the good that is actively at work in the world today. He highlights the work of the international institutions like the United Nations and the Red Cross, Amnesty International, and many other less well-known groups, and the tremendous good that is underway in the world today. And it really opens your eyes if you're starting to think that everything is bad and that there's only evil. It's not true. But the media, I think, for reasons of their own, tend to focus on the drama of conflict.
That's what gets the headlines, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think maybe that's because conflict is such an inherent part of human nature. The writings of Alice Bailey have a lot to say about the principle of conflict. We've talked about the rays, the seven rays that govern the world, the seven manifestations of divinity in past programs, and the fourth ray of harmony through conflict is said to govern humanity at this time. So the idea of conflict is something that is deeply familiar to people, and it's also very educational. And we can see the conflict in the world today raging, well, really through the last century. It's said that the past 100 years have been the bloodiest century in human history, with two world wars and I don't know how many other regional wars and civil wars. But behind that conflict, as you say, things are coming up to the surface for recognition. Maybe we would all like bad things to just disappear, but somehow part of the human responsibility is to be aware, to be conscious of what needs correcting, and to take an active part in that.
And we have to really, look beyond really what's happening, because I think there is a lot of, as I said before, a lot of love demonstrating by people in the world, and the quality of love demonstrated is determined by the part of each person and the amount of control that person has, whether it's control over the emotional nature or by the mind. And if that person is led around by his emotions or his desires, then he's not really in control, because those desires and emotions control him. But alternatively, if he is working as a thinking person, then he is able to choose and decide which way is best and exercise more control over his lower nature and the decisions he makes. And that will determine a lot about how much love really flows through that person.
It's said in the Ageless Wisdom that there are various phases or stages to how we deal with this control of our lower nature and gaining control over the conflict we experience. It's said that all of us go through the cycles of crisis, where we recognize that we're at a fork in the road, have to make a decision, have to make a change, followed by the reaching of a point of tension, a point where things come to a head, you could say, and that is followed by a point of emergence into, hopefully, a new and higher level of living and being. But this applies not only to our individual lives, the phases of crisis, tension, and emergence, but we can apply it to humanity and see how our capacity as a whole human species to learn from problems, to learn from conflicts, to generate the will to achieve a new unity and a higher level of choice and desire over and over again is a cycle that propels humanity on its evolutionary journey. It's very constructive, it's painful, it's educational, and it's part of the way that we grow.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and you're probably wondering about that gift. The gift is actually the mantra of unification, which I call a prayer. And would that be correct to call it a prayer?
Why not?
Okay. And if you'd like that prayer, the mantra of unification, it's the prayer that Dale read earlier. You can order that from us. What I think is remarkable about it is I think it is timely. When one looks at this mantra of unification prayer, which was, as Sarah said, it was something that came from ancient times. Isn't that correct, Sarah?
Yes.
And how timely it is in the respect that it's in sync with modern-day quantum physics science, where, and I don't quite understand that idea, but it's interesting at any rate. True reality is that all is one. Mm-hmm. And here this ancient prayer says that before science discovered it. Well, I'm glad science finally caught on. It seems like the ancients knew it a lot longer ago than science did.
Yeah.
But if you'd like that prayer, please give us a call. We'll send it out to you free of charge. 1-866-695-8247. That's our toll-free number. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. And in addition to the prayer, we'd also like you to help us out. We really do need your help, and we certainly appreciate all the support you've given us in the past that has made it possible for us to remain on radio. We'd like to continue on radio, and unfortunately, these shows do cost a lot of money, and that doesn't mean to say that we don't think this station is worth it. It certainly is. It's a good station, but nevertheless, they need their money, and so help us out if you can. And send us a donation, whether it's large or small, it is cumulative, and it helps us out. So if you'd like to donate, and if you can donate, please send it to Lucis Trust, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, send your donations to Lucis Trust. That's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you'd like copies of radio shows or some of our books, you're certainly welcome to call our toll-free number. Sarah, what more can we say about the love that underlies the happenings of the time? I would imagine there's a lot to be said.
Well, one of the ideas that I think is really interesting that's expressed in the books of Alice Bailey is that the cleavages that we see in the world today, the terrible divisions between peoples, between whole nations, between East and West, North and South, the Third World and the Developed World, all of these cleavages are actually an outcome, she says, of the growth of goodwill. And you might say, what? How could that be? But in fact, in an esoteric sense, the growth of goodwill, of the capacity to love and to aspire to harmony, is in its own way productive of cleavages so that we can see where the divisions exist and where they need repairing. And if we think about this function of energy, of spiritual energy in this way, we can look, for example, at the situation in the Middle East where there's such polarization that you might feel that it's hopeless of ever resolving. But in fact, the highlighting of these cleavages are a sign that humanity deeply aspires to unity. And I really do believe that with the right leadership on both sides and on all sides of any conflict, with right leadership, people's innate aspiration for unity and harmony with their fellow human beings would overpower the existing cleavages. Those are simply like yellow highlighters. They bring to observation, to the observant mind, where the differences exist. And from that point, resolution can follow. But we need the right kind of leadership, and yet on the other hand, we're told we can't just look to governments to do this, that it has to come from citizens, from ordinary human beings in large numbers expressing themselves through public opinion. And I think that's what's happening now, for example, with the war in Iraq. There's a tremendous outcry and a tremendous demand being mobilized throughout the world to resolve this situation and to not continue with this horrible war.
It's something very basic and very deep within human nature to want this harmony and to resolve conflicts wherever they are. And people are reaching down, and I think it's something very, very basic, because it gets back to that soul quality, which is essentially that of love. And it's a divine law of love that is working out through the human soul. And this is for this love to work out in the world is a major requirement of the plan of God. And this is why love will manifest and is manifesting slowly through the happenings of the times, because it is already, let's say, the will of God that this happen. And human beings are learning through the much pain and suffering and all the conflict that we're going through to work with this great law of love and express this divine energy in the world. And this great factor of love gives us the power and the capacity to accomplish this great task in the presence of the soul. It is the very essence of the soul that is working out here.
Maybe we should keep in mind that in looking for this expression of love, we're not necessarily going to see groups of people holding hands and singing kumbaya. That would be just a kind of a misrepresentation of the real love that you're talking about. I think one of the first signs we could look for would be the willingness to share. Something so fundamental and so basic, but also so urgently needed. We've talked before on this program about the terrible imbalance of the world's resources, and especially of money, so that half the world's people live on $2 a day or less, and a small handful of, I don't know, some 600 wealthy people own, what, 80% or 90% of the world's wealth? It's a terrific imbalance. And the sharing of what we have, especially in a country like the United States or the Western developed nations, need to share. And that would be a sign of love. So it isn't anything terribly abstract that we're looking for. The urge to unity, to understanding of those who are very different from ourselves would be another sign. And I think we see more expressions of that.
Yes, it's said in the books that goodwill, the energy of goodwill, is the best that humanity can express right now, of this energy of love. So there are many gradations of love, and it's not, we're not really talking about the affectionate kind of love between two people. I mean, that is part of it, but that's really the lowest expression of love. But love on an international level is like right human relations and building relationships between nations and groups. And
it can happen on quite a small level. Not too long ago, I read about an ongoing relationship that's been established between a rather small hospital, I think in Wisconsin, and a hospital in Russia, where they are exchanging visits and knowledge about physical health and technology, especially available in the Wisconsin hospital. But they visit and exchange regularly. And the Russian doctors have a great deal of knowledge, maybe not as much equipment as they want. But there's been a real interchange and a real fostering of each other's systems. It's not anything well known by the rest of us, but it's a remarkable example of love between peoples and sharing. And this has to happen on a huge level. That's just one little example. But each of us can make a difference in the sense of what we bring to our view of the world. In other words, we all look out through a window that we ourselves color with our own attitudes. It's sometimes kind of contemptuously said that someone looks at the world through rose-colored glasses, meaning they're not being realistic. But on the other hand, if you look at the world through cynicism and contempt for those who are different from you and the desire to hold on to whatever good things you have in your life in case anybody would want to take them away, you're not bringing to that window a very loving view.
And everybody out there listening to this can help by bringing that love into the world by sounding out the great invocation, because that's another one of the mantras that we offer that also speaks of light, love, and the will to good.
And it has to work out through humanity. The great invocation says, from the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out. It depends on us.
And once again, if you'd like that gift that we spoke about earlier, the gift is the prayer, or actually the exact title is the Mantram of Unification, if you'd like that. We'll send that out to you free of charge. Just call us, and we'll be happy to do so. Give us a call on our toll-free number in order to get the gift. It's 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Just ask for the gift and call those one of those numbers, and we'll send it out. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.